Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Texas Tech Presidential Lecture and Performance Series is hosting a very special event tonight in the Allen Theater on the Tech campus. It's The Other Mozart. That's Mozart's older sister. We'll unpack all of the details on today's program. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're visiting with Joe Moore, who is director of the Presidential Lecture and Performance Series here at Texas Tech University. Joe, thanks for inviting us into your office and letting us come by to see you today. Tell us a little bit, for folks who may not know, exactly what the Presidential Lecture and Performance Series is.
Clint, the mission of the Presidential Lecture and Performance Series is to essentially enhance the cultural landscape of the South Plains, rather like you do with the station. It is not only for campus and students, staff, and faculty, but also for the greater South Plains area. And what we strive to do is to bring richly produced programming to our area, whether it be plays or theater or dance or music. Also try to bring in world music and jazz and some things that you might have to go to a bigger city to see. So that's essentially what the Presidential Lecture and Performance Series is about. We put on 5 a year as kind of a standard, 2 during the fall and 3 during the spring. And a component of the series, which is one of my favorite parts, are the master classes that we're able to offer. So there's outreach not only to our students, we plug in with faculty that it fits their particular course of study, or we also do a lot with area schools, which is really great.
Something that you just said really, really connected with me when you said that this is something in a lot of cases where you would have to go to a much bigger metropolitan area to enjoy. That's something that you really have done, is bring world-class performances in all genres, theater and music and dance. Congratulations.
Oh,
you
thank
did a
you
great
for that.
Job of that.
Thank you for that. You know, what was important to me as kind of a curator of this particular series was to bring in Grammy winners and Grammy-nominated performers, Tony winners, Pulitzer Prize winners, National Book Award winners, poet laureates, people who are totally at the top of their game to be able to share with our community. And that has been just richly rewarded by the patrons that, you know, come to hear these things and see these events. And what I really love is that people will say to me, you know, I may not know who this particular performer is going to be, but I trust that it's going to be great. And every year they're like, it gets better every year. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I top that? Yeah. So it's really fabulous that the community trusts that the programming is going to be interesting. You know, one of the things that is happening in this day and time, because we have so many things that we can watch in the comfort of our own homes, you know, people going out for live performances can get a little tricky. You know, people have to really decide what they want to do with their time. You know, are they going to, you know, watch a program on TV, or are they actually going to get up and out? And there's something so rewarding, and you know from your concert performances, there is something different that connects between the audience and a performer when you see something and hear something live. There's just a richness to it you can't duplicate on the sofa.
That's right. That's right. No, there is a, you're totally right. There is a socialization that happens. There is that frisson of chance that something might not work right.
there's the chance that something unbelievable will happen.
Right.
That all happens in a live performance.
And, you know, it's so neat to me to listen to our performers after they've left the stage, many of whom have never been to Lubbock, Texas. You know, half of them may not have even known where Lubbock was. You know, they know your bigger cities, you know, yeah. Dallas and Houston, Austin, San Antonio. And what's really neat is they love our crowds. I mean, our audiences are so appreciative. So that, and they become ambassadors for Lubbock, which is what I really love, is right. They'll go someplace else and talk about the great crowds we have. So that is incredibly rewarding all the way around, not only to me, but to the performers as well.
Right. Well, tonight, Friday night.
Yes.
You're having one of these series, and it's one of the most interesting that I've come across, The Other Mozart. What is that all about?
The Other Mozart, I was intrigued by that too. As we've talked about, I'll go to New York once a year and have the opportunity, you know, some little something came across my email about this particular play, and it really caught my attention, because who knew that Mozart had a sister, and her nickname was Nannerl. And not only did he have a sister, but he had a sister who often had top billing over him, which is just stunning. So many of our female composers have been lost to time, and it was not the thing to do past a certain age. So Leopold, who was Mozart's father and Nannerl's father, took these children on a tour throughout Europe. And there are articles and reviews just talking about what a virtuoso she was and what a child prodigy.
Right, because they were both prodigies.
Exactly.
And so he took them off on a show and tell.
He did. Right, he took them off on a show and tell. And what happened is so at 11 years old, you know, she just got stellar reviews, which is stunning. But at 18, when a woman became of marriageable age, they decided, and I think there was something, if I remember reading a little bit about the history, that if a woman was paid to do work, then that would mean that her possibility of being marriageable kind of went out the window. And so they took her off the road and taught her housekeeping and all the skills that she was going to need to be, you know, a wife. And the play really speaks to that. Interestingly enough, it's just a one-woman show. It's an 18-foot, beautifully designed dress that drapes over this black stage. She's wearing sort of wooden slats, panniers, I believe is what they're called, that a dress would fit over to have sort of like a bustle look. But visually, it looks like she's constrained, which is what she was. You know, metaphorically, she was constrained and literally was constrained, not being able to perform her music. And so the play is actually taken from letters between the father, Leopold, and Mozart, and letters home and the sister. Though many of the sister's letters were not kept, but you could tell kind of by the responses. Sylvia Milo, who's the creator and the actress, pieced kind of together her personality. Because we don't have her music that we know of, though there is some evidence to suggest that some of Mozart's pieces could actually have been Nannerl's, because he touted her as this fabulous composer. So snippets of these letters come out. Her music, again, is not necessarily performed, but sounds from that period, things that would have sparked her imagination, like fans and teacups and of course, harpsichords and clavichords and any little thing of that period that might have inspired her is part of the sound design. And the sound design has been up for several awards, as well as the play itself. So I just felt like people in Lubbock, Texas needed to come see this play. And it's Women's History Month, you know, as you know. So it was just a perfect...
It totally works out.
Works out in it. And that was intentional. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful play with a wonderful story about during that time period, she couldn't help but lose the ability to express herself. She never lost the passion for music, but she wasn't able to perform for others. Perform maybe for herself, but it was such a tragedy in a way. So it's a very poignant story, but I think it's a very important story and very timeless. So I hope everyone can come.
Well, thank you for making this available for people to come and enjoy. Concerts tonight, how can people get tickets?
Yes, the concert's tonight at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30. It's a 75-minute performance, no intermission. They can get their tickets through Select a Seat, which is 770-2000, or they can go to our website. They can come to the door. I think there will be some tickets available.
In the Allen Theater, is that correct?
Yes, it's in the Allen Theater. That is the venue where all of our events take place, is in the Allen Theater, which is in the Student Union Building. And lots of times people will say, well, parking on campus is really tough. Well, I've hopefully made it easier for folks, because the lots between the Administration Building, the Student Union Building, the band lot, and the visitor lot on the east side, we've secured all those parking places. So they're complimentary. People do not need to pay for parking. So
that makes it a lot easier.
I hope so. Yeah.
Having been through that.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Yes.
That's right.
There may be some other things on campus from what I understand that evening, so I would encourage people to get there early.
Great. Joan Moore, as always, thanks for visiting. I just love to come to talk to you because it's always about something really wonderful.
Oh, Clint, thank you. I appreciate that. You're one of my biggest fans.
Well, that's great.
And the series.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on the Front Row today.
Thank you.
Today's episode of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.